Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
Howard Hughes, pioneering airplane pilot, movie producer, and director, died at the age of 70.
The legendary Howard Hughes had unrivaled success as an entrepreneurial business magnat, Hollywood movie producer, and a record-setting pilot.
Everything he did turned to gold.
His visionary achievements changed the course of history.
He did more for aviation than any human being on the face of the earth.
I've been in an awful rush to get away from here, and I hope you'll forgive me.
Oh, you bet.
And he dated a string of Hollywood stars.
His romances with Katharine Hepburn, Ava Gardner, Rita Hayworth. I never thought that I would end up falling madly in love with him, too.
But despite becoming one of the richest men in the world, for the last 20 years of his life, Howard Hughes almost disappeared from public view.
During his latter years, the billionaire allowed only a handful of people to see him.
He's so fearful of being contaminated.
And his body went into steady decline.
He was in wretched condition.
All he needed was food and water.
The money bought him everything. But in the end, nobody was there.
Howard Hughes was one of the most successful businessmen in the world and should have had access to the best medical care money can buy. Yet his detailed autopsy states he died of chronic renal failure caused by a number of apparently treatable conditions. Adding to the mystery, his body was reportedly so unrecognizable that the FBI resorted to fingerprints for absolute confirmation of his identity. I'm going to examine the circumstances surrounding Howard Hughes' bizarre and mysterious death.
World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has performed around 5,000 autopsies, collaborating closely with law enforcement and other forensic specialists. His pivotal role in investigating suspicious cases has revealed the truth behind mysterious deaths for over 20 years.
I have here the autopsy and investigative reports for the death of Howard Hughes. Together with medical information and accounts from those who knew him, I'll aim to establish how one of the world's richest men died on his own in a state of physical neglect.
January 7th, 1972, Los Angeles, just over 4 years before his death. Howard Hughes has called a press conference, which he'll conduct remotely from his hotel in the Bahamas. He has hardly been seen or heard from for nearly two decades.
Jeff Schumacher, Howard Hughes biographer.
In the early 1970s, there were a lot of rumors that Howard Hughes was either dead or incapacitated.
Billionaire Howard is one of the most successful businessmen in the world, famous as the founder of the Hughes Aircraft Company and for buying up vast amounts of real estate in Las Vegas. He's also a legendary movie producer, and at one point, he owned RKO Pictures. People are so fascinated by him that a forthcoming autobiography, allegedly ghostwritten by author Clifford Irving, appears to be the literary scoop of the era.
Howard Hughes was intent on proving that Clifford Irving's book was a fake. He decided to hold a press conference via telephone, so we didn't see him in person.
I take it, sir, you do not know a man named Clifford Irving, then?
No, I never saw him. I never even heard of him.
Terry Moore, actress and former wife.
Press conference came about to let the world know that he was in control, that Clifford Irving knew nothing, had no right to his story, his life.
Journalists seized the opportunity to also quiz him about rumors in the press relating to his appearance.
Hair to the middle of his back, and fingernails and toenails from 6 to 8 inches long.
This is just inconceivable. If I had toenails 8 inches long, I couldn't walk. Toenails 8 inches long, I couldn't write my name.
James B. Steele, Howard Hughes biographer.
He wanted the world to think he was a Midas, who everything he touched turned to gold. The fact of the matter is, he was in wretched condition, with the long fingernails, the long hair, not being clothed half the time. So he completely created the image that he was a normal person, when in fact he was not.
I can see from reports that at the time of Howard Hughes' last press conference, he was in a state of severe physical neglect. His finger and toenails were indeed overgrown and damaged by a fungal nail infection called onchomycosis, where a mold grows on the nail. It can be a result of neglecting to wash hands and feet and allowing the mold to fester. Nail fungus can be painful and can lead to other serious infections. Another worrying sign are his teeth. They were completely rotten. This state of neglect will undoubtedly have had a bearing on his kidney failure, and I need to investigate this further.
Howard Robard Hughes Jr. was born on December 24, 1905 in Houston, Texas, the only child of Aline Gano and Howard Robard Sr., an inventor. His family had made a fortune from the oil business.
Howard, as a boy, really showed early on a real marked genius for engineering and technology. He built his own little radio transmitter at a time that was extremely unusual. I even built a little motorized bicycle.
Young Howard spent much of his time alone, possibly due, in part, to a childhood affliction.
He had hearing loss from when he was very young, and it was something that really affected him socially his whole life.
He did not relate very much to other human beings. And what Howard's dad taught him more than anything was to make decisions on your own. Don't depend on anybody else.
Tragedy struck when Howard was just 16. His mother, Aline, died following an ectopic pregnancy. And just 2 years later, his father died suddenly from a heart attack.
He loved his parents so much, I don't think he ever got over it. He felt alone for the rest of his life.
The impact of both his parents dying was tremendous. And as a result of that, he fell back on himself, like, I don't really need anybody other than me.
Howard inherited a fortune and began running the family business.
He was 18 years old. He should be in college. He should be, you know, in a fraternity or something like that. And instead, he is running a multi-million-dollar company.
But selling oil drill bits wasn't enough for the ambitious Howard.
He wanted to have his own thing. At that time in the 1920s, filmmaking was the hottest thing in the world to be involved in.
So at the age of 20, Howard headed off to Hollywood.
He loved movies. He loved producing them. He loved making them. He loved discovering stars.
Howard made a number of successful films, including Hell's Angels, which made movie history.
Hughes orchestrated this World War I aerial combat scene. You know, it was absolutely phenomenal, and that is still almost unmatched to this day.
This is the opening of Hell's Angels.
No one had ever spent that kind of money on any movie, and Howard spent millions of his own money.
Howard's love of flying soared far beyond the realms of Hollywood. He broke the record for flying solo around the world, and it made him a national hero.
I mean, that's astonishing. Hughes was the most famous person in the world.
I think up in the air, that's where he was the happiest.
His passion for planes led him to start up the Hughes Aircraft Company and acquire control of Trans World Airlines, TWA. And he built the world's largest plane out of wood.
The so-called spruce goose, a name that he detested, is an amazing accomplishment. The complexity of building this giant plane out of wood is just almost unfathomable.
He also founded the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, continued to run his father's tool company as part of a vast business empire, and he invested heavily in real estate in Las Vegas.
Sean Margulis. son of Howard Hughes' personal aide.
He came into Las Vegas and was buying hotels in the 60s. He spurred the economy, and essentially the reason Las Vegas is what it is today is his brainchild.
Sammy Davis Jr. described Howard Hughes as the only man who plays Monopoly with real buildings.
Whatever he did, he never went out to make money, but he couldn't help it. Everything he did turned to gold.
February 1973, Inn on the Park, London, England, 3 years before his death. Howard Hughes has almost completely disappeared from public life for the last 20 years.
Hughes began to withdraw from the public in the late 50s, early 60s. It was a gradual process. And then he began living in hotel rooms.
I think Hughes liked the privacy, the flexibility of staying in a hotel room.
He has been hiding away in London for the past few months.
Anytime they went anywhere, they would rent the penthouse floor. There was five or six direct aides of Hughes that were always in a room next door, set up as an office.
Aides around him were required to seal off these hotel rooms with thick draperies, blocking out light. He would not leave that room for like months on end.
Sean Margulis's father, Gordon, was one of Howard's closest aides.
My dad understood that he was one of the most influential men in the world, but at the same time, I think he felt sorry for him because he projected the image of strength and power. The dichotomy was that he was a weak old man, reclusive in a dark room somewhere.
From reports, Howard Hughes had been living in a dark room more or less constantly for the last 20 years of his life. Exposure to sunlight provides the body with vitamin D, which is important for the absorption of calcium in the body. Vitamin D deficiency in adults can cause muscle weakness and osteoporosis, both of which are evident in the autopsy. However, his severe vitamin D deficiency would not have been the ultimate cause of his death. Howard's extensive autopsy reveals that living in the dark really was the tip of the iceberg.
Luxury never sleeps, which is why you need the RealReal app. The RealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury consignment. On the app, you can shop and sell top designers 24/7 from anywhere. Think Gucci, Hermes, Louis Vuitton, Rolex, and Cartier, all up to 90% off retail. Everything is authenticated by a team overseen by luxury experts, and thousands of new items arrive daily. Personalize your shopping experience with MyTRR. Save searches for your favorite designers and items in your size and watch new items stream in. Plus, keep tabs on your favorites. Just click the heart next to any item to add it to your obsessions. An app-exclusive feature allows you to share these obsessions with friends and family, perfect for dropping holiday gifting hints. Have luxury items you no longer use? The RealReal app makes it easy to sell. Book an appointment on the app, track your items with your personalized My Sales dashboard, and get notifications when your items sell. I love using the RealReal app because I'm able to get on the app whenever I want and check and see if they have new stuff coming in. Download the RealReal app today or shop and sell your favorite luxury brands and get 20% off select items with code REAL. Plus, new shoppers get $25 off their first purchase. Available on the App Store or Google Play. Get the RealReal app today.
In April 1976, the billionaire aviator and entrepreneur Howard Hughes died. Now acclaimed forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is hoping to unravel the mystery behind Howard's seemingly bizarre demise.
So far, I have discovered that Howard Hughes had a fungus on his nails, rotting teeth, and was living in a dark room, resulting in a dangerous vitamin D deficiency. This all suggests a worrying lack of care and self-preservation. But there appears to be a clear psychological explanation for Howard's unusual behavior.
May 1973. Inn on the Park, London, England. 3 years before his death. For nearly two decades, Howard Hughes has been running his highly successful empire from a series of hotel rooms.
Even though he was a recluse, he was still running his businesses quite effectively. And he did it via phone calls and memos, and he didn't see his business partners in person ever.
The aides were the conduit between the empire and him, and he always felt that they weren't doing things right. So he wrote, in dictation from him, very specific memos about how to do everything.
Howard's aides were required to help him with every aspect of his life.
There were memos about how the aide was to stand next to him. Don't look right at him. Make sure his breath wasn't coming straight down on him. One of them was a 2 or 3 page memo on how to open a can of fruit.
He didn't want to touch certain things. He didn't want to touch hands with one of his aides.
Anything that you handed to him had to be handed to him with a Kleenex, but also you had to have a Kleenex in your hand. And then he would take that Kleenex and then obviously open up whatever you were given to him.
Ultimately, you had Kleenexes everywhere.
I can see from reports that Howard Hughes was suffering from obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. This is a debilitating psychiatric condition characterized by the anxiety of unwanted feelings, which the sufferer copes with by adopting repetitive behaviors and uncontrollable obsessions.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
People who deal with OCD really suffer with being able just to get through life. I haven't switched the lights on and off. I haven't checked the oven. I haven't washed my hands. To actually being able to engage with people, because your mind is constantly flooded with these obsessions and then compulsions.
Howard's anxieties began at a young age.
We know that his mother had a real issue with germs, that she was a kind of a clean freak, and Howard definitely picked that up from her.
Too much attention she gave him. Everything was little Sunny. He must wear his galoshes. He can't get germs.
Both his parents sensitize him to dangers. His mom is a germphobe, so she's always saying you've got to be careful. You know, you don't get sick, you don't touch things. So the world becomes an unsafe place in terms of contamination. His father makes the world an unsafe place in terms of human connection. You can't trust other people. You can only rely on yourself.
Medical research shows that there is a strong genetic basis for OCD. And studies also show that people with the disease have less activity in their ventromedial prefrontal cortex, an area of the brain involved in signaling safety and predicting rewards. This could be why sufferers can often rigidly and excessively focus on rules, organization, perfectionism, and control as a way of providing some kind of structure and boundaries to their lives.
As his former wife, actress Terry Moore, had firsthand experience of Howard's desire to perfect and control.
Howard's perfectionism transferred into making movies, into airplanes, his taste for women, his taste for food, whatever. For instance, he didn't want me to shave my legs, and I never wore makeup with him. He just liked women natural. And Howard was absolutely insistent that I wear a bra, even in bed. Even when we made love, he wanted me to wear one to bed. Well, to this day, my boobs are just like they were when I was 16 years old.
Howard had a number of other relationships with glamorous women, from Katharine Hepburn to Ginger Rogers. But his obsessions became intrusive.
He just had real trust issues with women. And he had the money and the desire to go out and track them.
He did spy on me once, I know that. We'd had a fight, I went out with Tony Curtis, and I looked in the rearview mirror and I saw Howard following us. Well, if he could have controlled everything in my life, he would have liked it.
Howard Hughes' OCD got steadily worse, to the point at which he was convinced someone might commit him to a mental asylum.
He was very fearful at the time that the executives in his various companies were going to try to have him committed, because by then he was starting to exhibit this aberrant behavior that threatened to actually even bankrupt them.
But if he were married, they couldn't commit him. No one could commit you to an asylum unless your spouse signed the papers.
Although Howard Hughes had been married at least once before, first to society debutante Ella Rice, at the age of 51, he married Hollywood star Jean Peters.
I think, in the 12 or 13 years of marriage, they only lived together under one roof 9 months. So what does that tell you about any kind of a normal relationship?
From reports, I can see his relationships with women weren't the only thing affected by his OCD. It also appears he developed obsessions relating to his diet.
June 1973, Inn on the Park, London, England. Less than 3 years before his death, Howard has ordered his favorite dessert.
His food obsessions manifested themselves in a variety of ways, and one of those was with ice cream. He loved ice cream. He would often have the same flavor of ice cream night after night after night.
He would only allow my dad to prepare his food, and he would only eat a certain type of food for a certain period of time. For example, in Vegas at the Desert Inn, he got into Baskin-Robbins banana nut ice cream. So they bought 350 gallons. And the next day, my dad goes up, he has the banana nut ice cream, and Howard Hughes takes a bite of it, and he goes, you know what, this is good ice cream, but I think I'm going to go with French vanilla.
And sometimes getting Howard to eat anything at all was a struggle.
He was just so finicky about the food. He would go days at a time sometimes without eating, and, you know, he wasn't drinking water. He just wasn't taking care of himself.
Looking at the autopsy report, the pathologist notes Howard had cachexia, which is the wasting of the body due to chronic illness. Being significantly malnourished can have a devastating impact on the kidneys as it lowers the capacity to concentrate urine and get rid of toxins. Although Howard Hughes' OCD appears on the face of it to have contributed to his death, looking deeper into his autopsy report, I think it could have masked something far more physiological. Could a dramatic event in Howard's past be the key to his demise?
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
World-renowned medical examiner Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the detailed autopsy of billionaire entrepreneur Howard Hughes.
So far, I've learned about Howard Hughes' OCD, which appears to have led him to eat a restrictive diet and live in a darkened room. These obsessions could have had some bearing on Howard's death from chronic renal failure, but I can see from his autopsy that Howard had a history of extreme trauma, which could be of far greater significance.
July 7th, 1946, Beverly Hills, California. As an aviation pioneer, Howard Hughes risked his own life several times testing his prototype planes. But at the age of 40, disaster struck while solo testing his experimental reconnaissance plane.
Howard Hughes, wealthy movie maker and aviator, crashes while test flying his new XF-11. He radioed trouble.
Shortly after takeoff, the plane plowed through three houses before exploding.
It was an astonishing scene. Hughes is trying to climb out of this plane that's on fire.
Every bone in his body was broken, and he was scarred all over his body.
Telegrams came in from all over the world. Hope you get well, Howard. Hope you get through this. But nobody thought he was going to live.
I can see from these medical notes that after his plane crash, Howard Hughes' injuries were numerous, included multiple fractures and third-degree burns. He required 4 skin grafts. His chest was crushed, his left lung collapsed, and his heart had been pushed to one side of his chest cavity. This could have caused crush syndrome, a medical condition characterized by major shock. Following the extreme compression of the body, muscle cell damage occurs when pressure is removed from the crushed limb. The cell membranes then release toxins such as myoglobin. When excessive amounts of myoglobin are filtered by the kidneys, it can cause catastrophic renal damage. This is known as traumatic rhabdomyolysis, which can be fatal. Incredibly, however, even though his immediate injuries were major and life-threatening, Howard somehow survived.
And he did more than survive. During his five-week stay in the hospital, Howard redesigned his bed. His motorized version became the blueprint for the modern hospital bed.
It's something we take for granted today, right? That the back of the hospital bed can rise up, rise down, that it's all motorized. It was Hughes who really started that process.
Howard once again left his mark on the world, but the crash undoubtedly left an indelible mark on him.
Many of the injuries Howard sustained had a significant long-term impact, and there's evidence of that in his autopsy. He had scars on his left back, and he also had a history of hemothorax, which it states began, quote, following the crashing injuries 30 years prior to his death. The hemothorax is where blood from injured chest organs fill up the thoracic cavity, the space between the lungs and the chest wall. So after bleeding into his chest cavity, he then formed healing scars or fibrous pleural adhesions. There is no cure for this scarring, and it's likely the adhesions would have caused Howard to have labored breathing and discomfort for the rest of his life.
The plane crash turned out to be one of the great turning points in Howard's life, and he was in tremendous pain, and that was the genesis of Hughes' drug habit, his codeine addiction.
Howard was prescribed codeine after his plane crash, but his autopsy reveals he was still taking incredibly high levels of the drug 30 years later. Codeine is an opioid narcotic which binds to opioid receptors in the nervous system. By doing this, it changes the tolerance for pain.
He took a lot of codeine, so he was able to mask that pain on a pretty steady basis. Now, he wasn't a person to complain, and he took the drug so that he could live normally, as he saw it anyway.
July 1973, in on the park, London, England, less than 3 years before his death. One of the reasons Howard has spent the last two decades living in a series of hotel rooms is to avoid court hearings.
If you have huge businesses like Hughes did, and you're like him making a lot of rash decisions, you're going to face a lot of lawsuits.
In particular, Howard wants to avoid the courts to protect his image.
He did not want people to see him in the state that he was in.
And Howard's condition is about to get worse.
He had a slip and fall when one of the aides was moving him, and he ended up breaking his hip.
That act was the next pivotal moment in his life, because at that point, that's when he started descending very quickly.
From reports, I can see that Howard Hughes fractured his hip, and he had surgery to pin it back in place. Following his accident, he did not walk again and developed a contracture of his left leg, meaning his leg was permanently shortened. His hip fracture and contracted leg would have also contributed to his chronic pain.
This man relied on self-sufficiency. That when he begins to lose it, first because of his mental illness and then because of his physical illness, that this would have been the beginning of the end, no doubt.
Because of the initial pain from the hip fracture, he began using more codeine, and his drug use really soared after that.
The autopsy report states that there are multiple needle punctures in his forearms. Amazingly, he was getting injected with codeine rather than taking it orally. The fact that he's injecting the codeine suggests to me that he was in so much pain and his tolerance was so high that his care providers believed it was most effective to inject codeine directly into his bloodstream.
He would often break these needles off and he wouldn't let anybody touch them. Hughes was a very difficult patient. I mean, who's going to get in Howard Hughes' face and say, you need to do this? Well, maybe a wife could have done that. Maybe a brother could have done that, somebody like that. But he didn't have brother. He didn't have a wife at this time.
Taking incredibly large amounts of codeine places him at high risk of constipation. opioids increase the amount of time it takes stool to move through the gastrointestinal system by slowing the contractions of the intestines so that fecal material continue to build up over time. Research shows that those with chronic constipation are 13% more likely than patients without to develop chronic kidney disease.
He had a pretty severe constipation problem. So he would spend long hours in the bathroom, and it could be as long as 12 hours waiting for something to happen.
When the pathologists looked at his bowel, they did not find it to be impacted. So constipation is not a direct issue in his death. However, the fact he has a history of it fits with his long-term opiate drug use, and its risk for infection could make it a contributing factor, because it in turn can lead to toxins contaminating the kidneys. But there's something else in Howard's autopsy that could have exposed him to other life-threatening infections.
Hughes is in bad shape. He knocks a lesion off of his head.
World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is examining the detailed autopsy of the legendary Howard Hughes.
I have already learned that Howard Hughes was suffering from OCD, and he also had a serious addiction to the painkiller codeine. Following a hip fracture, the billionaire appeared to become immobile. Also, looking at his autopsy, I can see that he had bed sores, which were a sign of long-term inactivity and debility. Left untreated, bed sores can cause infections, which could have devastating consequences for the kidneys.
April 1975, Xanadu Princess Hotel, Bahamas. 1 year before his death. Howard has moved to another hotel room and is increasingly immobile.
He would sometimes watch movies over and over again, five or six times in a 24-hour period, never leaving that room, and it became more and more detached from his business operations.
After Hughes broke his hip, he never walked again. He wasn't drinking liquids. He wasn't eating right. He was not getting exercise. He was slowly deteriorating. And he developed bed sores as a result, so the pain was multiplying.
The autopsy report notes a small 2.0-centimeter ulcerated bed sore. Added to that, they found six similar-sized crusted ulcers on the skin. These bed sores are superficial, and because they are mostly encrusted, it's clear that they have healed over time, so they are unlikely to be a source of any kind of infection. The fact that he had them at all is a marker of just how debilitated he was.
August 1975, Xanadu Princess Hotel, Bahamas, 8 months before his death. Howard's OCD is continuing to dominate his life.
It took him a long time to use the restroom, so he would just sit on his bed, urinate in the jar, but he would save the jars.
Because everything else in his life was so chaotic, the OCD became very loud, because what it allowed him was not the reality of control, because urinating in bottles had nothing to do with his pain or his job or anything, but it gave him the illusion of control, which is precisely what he needed.
February 1976, 2 months before his death. A decision has been made to move from the Bahamas to Mexico.
The aides came to him and said, Howard, even though you like it here, we need to move to Mexico because you're not going to be able to get these drugs anymore in the Bahamas.
And it was constant fiasco moving it. My dad was in charge, and he was the one that would handle all the heavy lifting. Hughes joked that he was glad that he had lost so much weight because it was obviously easier carry for those guys.
What we do know about that move, that it was catastrophic for Hughes. He was already in a fragile state. This upset his routine, whatever it was, and clearly hastened his downfall.
March 1st, 1976, Acapulco Princess Hotel, Mexico, a month before his death.
Hughes is in bad shape. He falls out of bed. He hits his head on the side table and knocks a lesion off of his head.
The autopsy refers to a cylindroma of the left parietal scalp. Cylindromas are benign tumors that usually occur as single, slow-growing lesions on the head and neck. However, according to reports, as a result of Howard's fall, his tumor somehow severed from his head, leaving a gaping sore, which became open to infection. This, in turn, can lead to toxins contaminating the kidneys. So, I can't rule this out as playing a part in his death.
April 3rd, 1976. Acapulco Princess Hotel, Mexico. 2 days before his death.
The last couple of days of Hugh's life, he was in a semi-conscious state. Aides would deliver water, sometimes food. He would not touch either one of them.
He was just lying in bed, sleeping 19 hours a day in this excruciating pain.
One of the fellows who wasn't an aide but who knew Howard Jack Real called one of Hugh's doctors and said, "I really think you need to be here. He's really sick."
9 a.m., April 5th, 1976. Less than 5 hours before his death. Howard's personal physician, Dr. Wilbur Thane, arrives.
Howard Hughes was, I think, incoherent at that time. He wasn't lucid.
He was not on oxygen. He was not on IV fluids. None of those things that you would have for somebody in that condition who was weighing less than 100 pounds.
10:30 a.m. Arrangements are made to transport Howard back to his hometown of Houston.
They decided to fly him back to the United States where they could control the situation. So if Hughes were to have died in Mexico, the Mexican government might say, you know, we need to do an autopsy. We need to investigate this. And the Hughes organization did not want anything like that to happen.
My dad was carrying Howard Hughes from the hotel in Acapulco to the plane. The doctors didn't allow my dad on the flight.
11:20 a.m. Howard, two of his physicians, Dr. Thane and Dr. Chaffin, and another of his aides, board a private jet. One of the pilots manages to catch a glimpse of his passenger.
You know, like he was all shriveled up almost. He just wasn't much left of him, what I could see. You know, he didn't really know what was going on or anything.
11:30 a.m. The control tower gives the all clear for takeoff. Dr. Thane wrote an account of Howard's last moments. At liftoff, his apical pulse was 92 and became more rapid on ascent, then decreased after the jet leveled off. During the next hour, Hughes's breathing gradually slowed, stopping completely about 1:20 p.m. At 1:27 p.m., Howard Robard Hughes, Jr. is pronounced dead.
Howard Hughes, an adventurous life as pioneering airplane pilot, movie producer and director, friend of powerful leaders and himself powerful, died aboard the plane at the age of 70. On a secret flight from Mexico to Houston's famed Methodist Hospital.
It was devastating when I found out. Howard Hughes had gone through so much pain in his life. It was just the most heartbreaking thing that I ever went through because I cared. There were a lot of people who cared. Those boys around him who worked for him cared. He was sad.
He's the only guy that had to die for people to understand that he was still alive because he was such an enigma. Nobody knew what had happened.
In Houston today, some of the questions about Howard Hughes began to be answered. At any rate, some of the medical questions. An autopsy was performed.
According to press reports, some believed Howard died from an overdose. And from the toxicology report, it's certainly true to say that the amount of codeine in his system is pretty extraordinary. this is someone who has an extreme tolerance to the drug, having taken high doses of it for the last 3 decades. So it's inconceivable that that could have actually killed him. However, the fact that Howard appeared to be neurologically declining during his last days could help me solve the mystery of his death. And looking deeper into his autopsy, I believe I can also reveal the secret behind his unusual appearance and the potential reason for the ultimate demise of the legendary Howard Hughes.
The billionaire recluse Howard Hughes mysteriously died on a plane from Mexico to Houston, Texas, at the age of 70. Now renowned medical examiner Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the cause of his death.
Howard Hughes' autopsy states that he died from chronic renal failure or kidney failure. And I've already discovered a number of reasons for his kidney disease, from malnutrition to opioid addiction to the breakdown of skeletal muscle, rhabdomyolysis. But looking closer at Howard's incredibly detailed autopsy, I can see there was something far more significant at play. The pathologist discovered that his kidney failure was a direct result of his use of analgesics, specifically the drug phenacetin. Phenacetin was used as an analgesic and fever-reducing drug for many years. It was extensively used on numerous patients before it was implicated in kidney disease. It is now banned in the United States. Howard had clearly been living with chronic kidney disease for years. But alongside phenacetin, I believe there is another reason Howard's body finally reached the breaking point. The fact that phenacetin is used to treat fevers and infections is a key to unlocking the reason for Howard's death. Howard had nodular hyperplasia of the prostate, which partially obstructed the urethra. This is the non-cancerous increase in size of the prostate, which occurs in about 50% of men over the age of 60. As the prostate becomes enlarged, it puts pressure on the urethra, obstructing the flow of urine from the bladder, resulting in a condition called bladder outlet obstruction. And in Howard's case, his bladder is hyperdistended as a result of urine accumulating in his bladder over time in ever-increasing amounts. This would have made Howard prone to urinary tract infections. Crucially, deep in Howard's autopsy, the pathologist discovered he had 250 milliliters of cloudy yellow urine, which suggests to me it was indeed infected. And I can see Howard had chronic cystitis, so his bladder was inflamed as a result of an infection. A UTI like this could have made Howard appear delirious, particularly given his age. So it's clear his body was heavily compromised by his numerous health problems, and I therefore believe his urinary tract infection was the final straw.
Dr. Hunter now believes he can reveal Howard's last moments.
I can see from reports that Howard's body became riddled with infection. His kidneys finally failed, and he became uremic, which means his kidneys leak toxins or body waste into his blood. These toxins, which include creatinine and urea, were recorded at very high levels. As a result, Howard Hughes likely contracted sepsis, leading to septic shock. Given his weakened state, he was simply unable to fight this off. As his organs started to fail and shut down, Howard Hughes' body fell into a coma, and he eventually died.
And Dr. Hunter has one last piece to fit into the puzzle.
Even though it was reported in the press that Howard Hughes must have been a victim of neglect, I think there are other reasons for his appearance. Following Howard's major plane crash in 1946, he developed a condition called allodynia, which meant he experienced severe pain even from the lightest touch to his skin. This condition likely developed as a result of his multiple fractures. The tissue damage releases chemical mediators that affect the nerves in that tissue, leaving Howard with chronic skin pain. So the fact Howard had rotten teeth was because it would have caused him a great deal of pain to brush them. The likely reason he let his nails and hair grow was because cutting them could have also overwhelmed him with pain. So his unusual appearance was more likely due to chronic pain rather than his OCD.
Howard's physician, Dr. Wilbur Thane, described Howard's skin as extremely sensitive to touch, and any cutting of his finger or toenails hurt like hell.
Even though Howard is taking incredible amounts of codeine, it wouldn't have been strong enough to provide pain relief. From his allodynia to hip pain, fibrotic adhesions, open wounds, chronic kidney disease, and so on, Howard Hughes was a train wreck of injury and pain. Most people who experience chronic pain look for a coping mechanism. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcast1.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.